This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I'm here today, utterly amazed that this is actually happening. It is a wow moment in my life. This honor comes to me unsought and totally unexpected. I am humbled and deeply grateful to have been selected alumnus of the year for 2014. And I must say out at the very beginning of my remarks, not unto us, O Lord, not unto me, but to your name be glory. Because of your love and faithfulness. And truly, it is because of God's love and faithfulness that I have come thus far. There are some good memories that this old mind still has of my days at CBC as it was known then, back in the late 40s. I remember how different it was coming from the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina, and arriving on a Bible college campus. Thankfully, there were no uniforms. There were no marching, no marching, no rifles to carry, but something profoundly different and wonderful. It was a co-ed student body. But you know, dating was sort of limited at the school. Of course, we had special times when we could get together with a girlfriend. It was down in the parlor of the old Colonial Hotel, which was the main building on the campus in Columbia. And we could meet there for 10 minutes each evening before supper. And we called it the 550 Club. It was the fastest 10 minutes of the day. And it was at CBC, as we used to know it, that I met Elaine Brownlee from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She was special in every way. And we dated, and we grew in our relationship, and we sought the Lord's will in our lives as to our relationship in the future. And it all was happening as we were sitting in the parlor, in the 550 Club. And I want to tell you that romance can grow in the parlor. I remember that Elaine shared with me an unforgettable experience that she had as a student at CBC. On one day, she was in a hurry to go up the stairs of the old Colonial Hotel, the main building on campus, and it circled up, and she was in a hurry, and so she was skipping steps as she went up. It so happened that at the top of the stairs was the Dean of Women, Mrs. Catherine Walker. And when Elaine arrived at the top, Mrs. Walker called her, "Come over, Elaine." And she said to her, "Elaine, dear, ladies of gentility do not skip steps." It Elaine and I married after graduation in 1950. The Lord blessed us with nearly 50 years of life and ministry together. She was a gifted teacher of the Bible. And she was a wonderful mother to our 5 children. 4 sons are here today. Bill, Joe, Don, and David. 3 of those sons studied here at CIU. I have 2 stepsons here, Roger and Ray. I have 2 brothers here and their wives, Burton and Letty, Major and Jane. I have a brother-in-law here, Buddy Ward. I have grandsons here, Kyle and Kirk. And I have a great grandson here, William. And he is the 20th of the 20 great grands that God has given us. I have memories of Dr. Robert McQuilkin, who was the founder and first president. I remember him as a man of joyful faith. We used to have prayer days on campus back then when the faculty and the staff and students would gather, and Dr. McQuilkin would lead us, sharing with us the huge financial needs that the school had, which only a miracle of God could supply. And I can still see him seated on the platform before us as students. And he would lead us out in singing, "Faith, mighty faith, the promises that looks to God alone and laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done." The radiance on his face still lingers in my mind. And we saw mighty faith in action. And by the end of the day, the report would be made that the goal had been met in answer to prayer and God fulfilling his great promise to the school. I remember Dr. McQuilkin also taught a course in the progress of redemption. It was especially beneficial and helpful to me in seeking to bring the Bible, the unity of the 66 books of the Bible together, and showing in that course the sweep of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, revealing the unfolding theme of the purposes of God in redemption. A great course. I hope you still have it in the curriculum here at Columbia. I'll always be thankful for my years at CBC and for the professors and the staff who taught me and mentored me as godly men. There is one chapel that I particularly remember. Dr. Tom Lambie was the speaker. He was a rugged missionary doctor to Africa. In fact, he was the brother of Mrs. Robert McQuilkin, an uncle to Robertson. But it wasn't primarily what Dr. Lambie said that day that stuck with me. It was the song that he taught us in that chapel service that lingered in my life. And the song was one that is very popular today. "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. Should no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back." Little did I realize at the time that God would use the message of that song years later in a crisis in my life. And I share that quickly with you. It was in 1954 when Elaine and I were ready to leave for Ethiopia. We were at the Idlewild Terminal in New York City, beginning our journey for the first time leaving the continental limits of the United States as missionaries under the SIM. It was quite an emotional time for us as a family to say goodbye to those who had come to see us off, because it was going to be 5 years before we would see their faces again. Traveling with us were our three sons, Bill and Joe, our three-year-old twins, and Don, our one-year-old. They were the only grands on both sides of the family, so it was hard for my mom and dad and Elaine's mom and dad to hug us and say goodbye to those three little boys, knowing that they would not see them for so long. No one knew at the time that Elaine was pregnant. She was 5 months on the way. And we had been told by the mission that you can go to the field with three, but you can't go with four. This was the policy of the mission. And what were we going to do? How could we put the brakes on? We were already launched with them before. We had waited for 18 months for our visas to be granted by the Ethiopian government. And this happened in the fifth month. We had been scheduled on a freighter, but we couldn't go on a freighter because doctors were not on a 12-passenger freighter. So we had to be booked on an airplane. And so the time was running out, and it was time to get going. And I will tell you now that the little one that Elaine was carrying at the time, and by the way, she did a masterful camouflage job. No one else knew, only the mission knew. We didn't want any of the family to know that one of their grands would be born in Africa. That little one that came 4 months after we arrived was the first girl in the Harding family in 40 years. Little Gwen was born. Now, she couldn't be here today. She wanted so much to come, but she's in Colorado, far away, and just couldn't make it. We boarded that Constellation aircraft. The commercial jets were not flying across the Atlantic at that time. And we started our flights as that plane slowly droned through the skyways, stopping in Gander, Newfoundland, Paris, France, Zurich, Switzerland, Athens, Greece, Cairo, Egypt. Man, we thought we would never get to Ethiopia. We had to do so many stops along the way to be refueled. And by the time we arrived in Cairo, we were utterly beat after over 20 hours of being en route to the field. And our little children were becoming tired and irritable and difficult to handle. We were ushered into a little sitting room there in that hot Cairo airport. Can remember it so well as the fans were suspended from the ceiling, turning the hot air that was already there. There were these strange-looking, ominous people roaming around in the airport that wore long robes and turbans around their head and deep-set eyes and hawk-like nose and were walking around like this in the communal terminal building. Well, our little one-year-old Don was just learning how to walk, and he happened to accidentally push an ashtray off of the little table in front of us, and it landed on the ceramic tile floor and broke and made a big noise in the Cairo airport. And one of those men came over and rushed up to us and said, "Come on, you're going to walk." Ah. I said, sir, would you run that through again? We had barricaded ourselves in behind our suitcases and our diaper bags, waiting for the continuing flight to Ethiopia. We thought it would never come. We got our children stretched out on these old straight strawback benches to try to put them to sleep. And the four-motored aircraft would take off and vibrate that terminal building, wake up the kids, and they were screaming. I looked over at Elaine. I saw tears streaming down her cheeks. I said, oh, wait. My children are crying. My wife is crying. I don't want to tell her, but I feel like crying too. It was a very low moment for us. I wish I could have gone to a telephone and called home and said, Mom, can I come home? There's no way to do that. We couldn't go forward. There was no plane there. We were just stuck in Egypt, the land of bondage. We couldn't go forward. It was a moment of great testing to us as we sort of reached the limits of our own human extremity. And we were just wondering, Lord, what's happening? We can't move forward. It was a moment of testing for us. And I remembered the little song that Dr. Tom Lambie taught us in chapel years before. And I said, Elaine, we've got to sing this little song together. And we sang together in the Cairo airport that night, 2:00 in the morning. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And it seemed like as though the Lord himself undergirded us with his faithful hands and just said, it's going to be all right. I will see you through. And he did. That I count as one of the high water marks in my pilgrimage with Jesus Christ. God proved himself to us in the time when we felt so at the end of our rope. And he gave us the privilege of living and serving and making Christ known in Ethiopia. So meaningful, challenging, and rewarding. And as you heard on the video, Elaine lost her battle with cancer in 1999. And before she passed away, she said to me, she said, Bill, I don't want you to be alone for the rest of your life. If God should bring someone into your life to be your life's partner, it's all right. It's all right to marry again. And then she added, just give me 1 year, please. Well, 7 years passed, and Robertson McQuilkin prayed and encouraged me during those years about finding a life's partner. And Betty Stone came into my life, and we were married 8.5 years ago. And what a joy it has been for us to be able to live and serve together our Lord as he gives us the opportunity in the remaining years of our lives. We feel that we are God's gift to each other in these times. And I close with my old age verse. That's a challenge to me, but it's one that I have claimed for my life in these latter years. It's Psalm 71:17-18. And it goes like this. Since my youth, O Lord, you have taught me. And to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. But when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, until I have declared your power to the next generation and your might to all who are to come. And may it so be for us in the fulfillment of this verse until our end. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you today for your love and faithfulness that has sustained us, all of us, until this time in our lives. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. We thank you for this time together as we have shared the memories of people who have meant so much to our lives and who encourage us along life's pathway. Thank you for your blessing upon this school and for all that it's doing to equip men and women for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you and praise your name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.